Going to continue our series in Advent. I titled the series Prepare the Way because I know that that's what Advent is all about. Preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus, God with skin on. And so as we prepare our hearts for the arrival of the Messiah, we see a peculiar and strange truth. Almost every other religion in the world is structured so that humanity has to make its way to God. But we serve a God who made his way to us. God turned the world upside down, and he did it in a way that is all his own. He saw the world in a broken, depraved state and decided that he would come down and fix it to bring redemption to us. And you want to get that for me? And I think that if we put our most creative minds together, we probably could have never come up with the way that God planned to redeem the world. Through a poor teenage virgin girl, he sent his son, the Messiah. And today we're going to look in Luke 1:26 through 38, which is the passage that talks of the Gabriel the angel's coming to share with Mary what was about to happen. And so I think this just gives us a glimpse of three pretty powerful points that we need to be aware of as we approach the Christmas season. And those are the mystery, the mission, and the motivation behind Advent.
Will bear a child, a son. He will be called Jesus.
Jesus.
He will form a bridge between heaven and earth for all time. He will be called the Son of God, and he will take up the throne of David. And his reign will know no end.
But I've never been with a man. How could I be with child?
The Holy Spirit has found you. You have nothing to fear, Mary.
Why are you saying this? It isn't true. I don't know who you are, but I don't believe you. Now leave me.
Do you love your God, Mary? Mary?
Yes.
Do you trust in him?
Yes.
Close your eyes. Look inside yourself. Find the Holy Spirit within you. It will be shown to you. You are blessed amongst women. You carry the Son of God.
In this passage, we're told about one of the greatest mysteries of the Christian faith, which is the incarnation. And I'm sure that's a word that if you've been going to church for a while, you've heard the word incarnation. Basically, what it means is in the flesh. At this stunning moment in history, God's plan for redeeming his people is revealed. He finally lets us in on it. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to put things back the way they were meant to be. He would set out to save humanity from the inside by becoming one of us. God with skin on. I think that sometimes, well, a lot of times, in the Christian faith, we tend to take these things that God does for granted. And at Christmas, I think that because we've been told the same thing over and over again, we tend to take the idea of God leaving heaven, coming down to earth to become a man. We are just like, yeah, God did that. But imagine that. See, he's already in heaven, in perfection. and he sees his created people suffering and has so much love and compassion for that that he says, I have to go down there. I have to fix this. This was would have been scandalous had it not been true. A God, a deity, so in love with his creation that he leaves perfection to come down to earth. Like I said at the beginning, no other religion, no other God in history has ever done that. Only the God of Christianity, the true God. Jesus chose to leave the Most High throne and become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He left to redeem us. That was the mission. The mission he went on was redemption. And I used to have a professor that would say that the thread that knits together all of Scripture is redemption. From the time of the fall to the finale in Revelation, the theme is redemption. Every action God takes is for the purpose of redemption. That's the mission. As Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase, The Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God saw that there was nothing that we could do in our own power to bring redemption, and so he decided to come and do it for us. The mystery of the incarnation sheds the light on the mission of Jesus. It shows us that God is always coming to us to bring us to him. And we don't have it up here now because we took it down for this wreath, but I love the picture that we usually have hanging here of Jesus knocking. Jesus is always coming to us, coming to our doorstep, knocking on our door, saying, hey, I know what you've got going on in your life. I can help. Ever seen the movie The First Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise? Ethan Hunt is framed in this movie for treason against his team and his country. And the rest of the movie is him going about doing these crazy stunts to try to bring redemption to his name. And one of my favorite scenes from that movie is when he's hanging about this high off the ground in a secure room with a bead of sweat dripping off his face, and he catches it in the glove. And, you know, they call it Mission Impossible for a reason. And the whole point of the movie, the whole plot, is that he wants to bring redemption to his name. He didn't do the things that he was accused of, and he wants redemption. In the real world, God sends the only agent capable of the Mission Impossible of redeeming all of creation. He puts skin on and comes down himself. No cables, no cars, no bullets. The mission is much more impossible in our minds. God becomes man, lives a sinless life, and then dies with the burdens of every believer, past, present, and future, on his shoulders, only to rise again and conquer sin once and for all. The mission becomes very possible through Jesus. Jesus himself didn't need to be redeemed. He wasn't like Ethan Hunt trying to bring redemption to his own name. He did all of this for us. And so the next logical question has to be, why? Why would he want to go through all the work and trouble of redeeming us? The motivation behind the mission is clear. Love. Advent is a proclamation of God's unthinkable love for his people. More than just sentiment or intention, it is active and overflowing and even reckless. I love that word, reckless. God's love for us is reckless. Do you know what reckless means? It means not concerned with the outcome. He's going to do whatever it takes to redeem us, and some of us are going to reject that. God can't be concerned with that. He risks it all because he is driven by love. This love is captured throughout the Bible, but I really particularly am fond of the story of the prodigal son. I relate to this story, and I think that it really just captures a really clear picture of the love behind the redemptive mission of God. And one of the best explanations of this story comes from the author Jim Smith in his book, The Good and Beautiful God. He says, the parable of the prodigal son should really be called the parable of the father's love. The word prodigal means recklessly extravagant. We attach the word to the younger son, the one who, in the story who spends all of his inheritance on sinful living. But it is the father who is the most recklessly extravagant, offering his wealth to an ungrateful son and lavishly loving the son when he returns. In what I think is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, we read, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. We are given the sense that this father has been looking for his son's return, perhaps every day. And when he sees his son, he is filled with compassion. This is no small detail. It tells us about the character and heart of God. God looks at us with compassion, even when we have done the very worst to God that we could possibly do. In the world of Jesus' day, the father had the right to take his son before the elders and have him stoned, perhaps even to death. No one would have questioned the father had he done this. Justice would have been served. But instead, the father hugs the son and kisses him, which is a sign of forgiveness, and welcomes him home and throws him a party. He asks for his servant to bring the son a robe, a ring, and a pair of shoes, three signs of restored sonship, redemption. He has all the rights of a son, his position has been restored, and he has lost nothing. And he deserves none of it. Can you see why, to me, this really captures a really good picture of God's love? We don't deserve God with skin on. God would have been well within his rights to just say, that is a lost people. There's nothing more I can do, and wash his hands of us. But instead, while we were still far off, while we couldn't even fathom what redemption would look like in our lives, God set the plan into action. And even as early as Genesis, he talks about the man's heel crushing the head of the snake, and that is a foreshadow of Jesus. He already knew way back then. In my mind, I like to think it was maybe seconds or minutes after Adam and Eve tasted the fruit. God said, hey, you know what? I know how I'm going to fix this. Because I love this people so much, I'm going to fix this. That's what we're preparing for during Advent. That is what these weeks leading up to Christmas and what Christmas Day, the celebration of Jesus coming to earth, is all about. It's about thousands and thousands of years of God's plan for redemption playing out in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And what my brother said here this morning is great truth. We are responsible for sharing that story with other people. We can't take it for granted. We can't just say, yeah, Christmas is about Jesus' birthday. We have to understand the deeper meaning, the theme underneath it, which is redemption. And if you claim redemption, you have a responsibility to talk about it. Have you ever acted out of the motivation of love? Think about that. What does love motivate you to do? It motivated God to become a man and then to die. What are you willing to risk for love? How can you practice incarnation? Remember, incarnation means in the flesh. And as temples of the Holy Spirit, we are called to be incarnations of God in the world. How can you practice incarnation as modeled by Jesus? Putting God's love in the flesh in your community. There's another word we heard this morning, community. God is always moving to be found among those he loves. Who are you among? Do you concern yourself with only being around other believers? Are you out in the world talking about the redemption that you claim? How are you involved in God's mission to love the lost around you? Are you praying for God to put people in your life that don't know him? Are you praying for eyes to see the brokenness and hurt in our world? There are some sitting in the pews this morning that need you to talk about the love and hope that you have, because maybe they've taken their eyes off of it for a minute and have a sense of hopelessness right now. God sent Jesus to this earth, and that's what we celebrate on Christmas, but Jesus went up to heaven and left us with some work to do. And he left us the Holy Spirit to help us do it. So we celebrate the coming of Jesus on Christmas, but the best way to celebrate that is to do the things that God has called us to do. To love those around us. To talk about the reason that we have hope. To talk about the reckless love that God has given us and why he wants to give it to those that don't know it as well. The last question I have for you this morning. God's motivation is love. What's your motivation? What drives you to do the things you do? Love for God and others, as he calls us. Love for ourselves, which is the way of the world. Or something else. What is your motivating force? What drives you? These are great questions to reflect on as we lead up to the season, as we prepare our lives and hearts for the coming of Jesus. We should ask God to search us. Search our hearts, O Lord. Bring redemption to us so that we can help lead others into redemption. So let's embrace the mystery of the incarnation this season. The mystery that God loves us so much that even in our wildest dreams we couldn't imagine the way he planned to redeem us. And that he did it all because he loves us. Agape. Unconditional. Nothing you can do to stop it. Reckless love. Advent is about the mystery of God among us. It's about the mission of rescue through Jesus. And Advent reminds us that God's motivation in both his rich, reckless love for all creation, may we live our lives as a response to that reckless love. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning that you are a God that loves us. And that by all rights, you had every reason to just say, there's nothing more I can do. But you chose not to. And that's the only reason that we're here this morning. Lord, help us to see the depth of your love. To even capture a glimpse of it. Because even a glimpse can transform our lives. Lord, break our hearts for the things that break yours. Lord, as we talk about and study and hear and read about preparing for the Christmas season. Lord, help that 6 or 8 inches between our brain and our hearts click. That we wouldn't just know it, we wouldn't just talk about it or think about it, but that we would feel it and experience it. And that we would live it out. That we would be your hands and feet in this world. Lord, help us to see those that you're calling us specifically to minister to. Whether it's a smile, a kind word, an offer of prayer, or something more. Lord, I pray as you open doors that we would walk through them. Lord, more than anything, I pray that we would just be able to understand the reckless love of God in our lives. And that we would respond accordingly. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.